And so today, being Good Shepherd Sunday, always the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, how appropriate that yesterday, on Saturday, we had the installation of our bishop, actually on Friday, income tax day, we had the installation of our new bishop, Douglas Desitel from Basile, Evangeline Parish. First bishop from Evangeline Parish. And it was a beautiful mass and celebration and glorious gathering. Many people and many bishops. There were a bunch of bishops from Texas that I actually went to school with in Dallas, Holy Trinity Seminary. So it was good to see them. And I was one of the consultors, which anybody on the Council of Priests is a consultor, and we had the duty of inspecting the papal bull, which is not an animal. A bull means a stamp in Italian, basically. And so it's the stamp document that comes from the Pope telling Bishop Douglas Desitel that he is legitimate, that he's official. And, well, all they showed us was a Xerox copy of the original. It's kind of funny because the original has not yet even come from the Vatican to the United States yet. So I was joking with everybody after the ceremony. I said, well, it was a nice two-hour ceremony, but we're going to have to do it all again once the papal bull comes in. All right. So, and Bishop Desitel started off his homily by saying that he had asked a friend in Dallas what he should say for his first homily at the cathedral. And his friend told him, well, Douglas, don't focus on how unworthy you are, because within 2 weeks they will understand that very well. And on Thursday night, we had the evening prayer service with Bishop Desitel, with just the priests of the diocese at Immaculata on the Brobridge Highway. And as he began his little homily there, he said, I want to thank all of you priests for welcoming me here to the Diocese of Dallas. And we all burst out laughing, and he said, oh, how long will it take me to get that out of my head, you know? He's been there for 40 years saying the Diocese of Dallas, so it's going to be hard for him to get that out of his head and say the Diocese of Lafayette. But he did give five priorities on Thursday night that he didn't share on Saturday at the installation mass that I will share with you now. His five priorities that he would like to focus on during his time here. And the first one, he said, are life issues from the womb to the tomb, so protection of the unborn all the way to the protection of the elderly at the end of life, right? And everything in between, immigration and so forth and what have you. It all comes down to the dignity of the human person. Every human person is very special and an image of God, right? So it must be respected in every possible way. And secondly, he mentioned catechetics, so teaching, the importance of learning the faith. And the more that you know, the less likely that you are to leave the faith, right? And so very important to know what our teachings are. Third is keeping of the Lord's Day. So going to Sunday Mass and fidelity to worshiping the Lord. And also to a day of rest, not working 7 days a week, working ourselves to the bone, kind of a frenetic lifestyle where we don't have any time to rest and focus on who we are as children of God, right? That we are God's beloved sons and daughters. So important for us to be able to have that time on Sunday to be able to do that and to be with family and so forth. Fourth thing he mentioned was the family rosary, encouraging families to pray the rosary together. Remember the priest who had started the rosary crusade said, the family that prays together stays together, right? And so the rosary being one form of prayer that is very beautiful, and I'm sure he did that as a child in Basile. He was one of eight children, and I'm sure that they did that. Fifth, he mentioned the importance of vocations and continuing the good work in the Diocese of Lafayette to promote vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And there they were, almost 50 seminarians from the Diocese of Lafayette at the installation mass. So there were rows of four, and it was just so impressive to see so many young men who are considering the priesthood in our diocese. We've always had a good tradition, a good strong faith here in the diocese that has produced, and we always need more, so we keep praying for that. And in line with that, yesterday, Saturday, I went to another beautiful event, although it was more somber. It was a funeral. And Father Metrajean, André Metrajean, he was my associate in Scott before I came to Ville Platte, and he took over as administrator there. And his sister had entered the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's order. And she had gone up to Chicago just this past January to start as an aspirant. We started as an aspirant in religious orders. And then went to Mexico City just maybe a month ago or so to begin her postulancy. The different stages you have to go through, as sisters can very well tell you, that you have to go through before you make your vows as a religious. 28 years old, she had been a nurse at Heart Hospital of Lafayette for 5 years, and then decided to give it all up and enter the religious life. But was starting to have some medical problems and fainting spells, and on April the 9th, they woke up, started their morning prayers, and she had a heart attack, age of 28, and died in the arms of the Missionaries of Charity right there during their morning prayer. So, terrible tragedy to lose her so young, and yet she went off to see her bridegroom, Jesus our Lord. Very joyful for her. And they're a family of vocations, because Sister Claire is her name, and Father André, their great uncles, were Bishop Fry, Monsignor Fry, and Father Jerome Fry, three brothers who had become priests. And on their father's side, Monsignor Paul Metrajean, who lives in Opelousas in retirement, is a cousin of theirs. So they've got beaucoup vocations in their family. But it was a beautiful funeral. Lots of priests and missionaries of charity, about 20 missionaries of charity were there. Full church at Fatima in Lafayette. And at the end, Father Mike Champagne did the homily. Father André was the main celebrant. And at the end, Father André shared a few words and thanked everybody for coming and for all of the support that they had given to their family. And he said, very touching, he said that he had received a letter from his sister and he had not even had time to open it because of the Easter holidays and celebrations and so forth, so busy. And then she died. And so he still hadn't opened up the letter. So he went in front of the tabernacle and opened up the letter and read it. And at the end, she said, "I will see you in the Eucharist. I will see you in the Eucharist." And how true it is, right, that we are very much united in the Holy Eucharist with everybody in the whole world, past, present, and we can maybe even say future, right? That we are united together in Jesus, our Lord, the Good Shepherd. So it was good to see a shepherd brother take care of his sister in religious life. Now, the good shepherds in the world will tell you that that is a real kind of a thing. It's called the blood of the adoption. And so a shepherd goes out into his flock, and he finds that a mother sheep, which is called a ewe, has given birth to a lamb, but the lamb has died. And he goes to another part of the flock, and he finds that there is another ewe that has given birth to a lamb, but the ewe, the mother sheep, has died. So you would think you could just take the lamb of the living lamb with the living mother, put them together, and it would work, but it doesn't. The other ewe will not accept that lamb as its own. But the shepherds learn something to do in that case. They take the blood of the dead lamb and they smear it on the wool of the living lamb, and the other ewe will accept that lamb at that point as its own and will start to nurse it. And so that is called the blood of adoption. And that is exactly what has happened to us, right? Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has died for us. His blood was spilled out and poured upon us so that we could be adopted by our Heavenly Father. The blood of adoption of Jesus our Lord has brought us close to Him. And we heard how those in heaven have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. If you're like me, if you get blood on a garment, you want to get it off as soon as possible, right? how can you make it white? Well, it's a symbolic of its purifying. The blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ purifies us of our sins and forgives us of our sins. And that's how precious His blood is, and a great and almighty gift from God. It talks about how the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, and they won't follow another shepherd's voice, only their own. And that is very true, because shepherds in the Holy Land, they can put a bunch of flocks together at nighttime for protection. And in the morning, they open up the gate, and each shepherd makes his distinctive call, and the sheep automatically go to their shepherd. They will not go to any other shepherd, only their own. And so we need to know the voice of the shepherd in our lives, right? Through daily prayer, through Sunday worship, through acts of charity as well. That's how we can hear and experience the voice of the Lord calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. Because He knows our voice, as the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows our voices as well. But we have to be here in order to receive the grace. There's a final story I'll share with you called The Silent Sermon. There was a pastor in a church one time who noticed that one of his parishioners had stopped coming to church. He had come regularly, and then for weeks he had not come. And he suspected there was something wrong. And so he went to visit the home of this person who hadn't been coming to church anymore. It was chilly. And the man had a fire going in his fireplace. And the pastor knocked on the door. The man welcomed him and had him sit in a rocker next to the fireplace with him. And at that point, no words were exchanged. And the fire was just dancing in the fireplace on those logs. And the pastor took the fire tongs, and he took out one of the embers that was burning in that fire, right? He took it, and he put it on the side of the fireplace, away from the fire. And the fire danced for a little while on that ember, and then it went out. And then it was cold and dead. The pastor put the tongs down, sat back in the chair, and didn't say a word. The man who hadn't been going to church looked at that ember very intently. And then the pastor looked at his watch, said, "Well, I guess it's time for me to go." He picked up the tongs, and he put that dead, cold ember back into the middle of the fire. And before long, it caught fire again, and it was blazing, right? And the fire danced upon it again. He put the tongs down, and as the pastor was about to leave the door of the home, the man said, "Pastor, thank you for the fiery sermon. I'll be in church this Sunday." All right. So we all need to do that, huh? Maybe we all need to visit those who are not going to church and bring them back and ask the Lord to touch their hearts, because it's only in the midst of the community that fire of love can burn brightly in our hearts, and that they can receive the grace and the love of the Good Shepherd, Jesus our Lord. Amen.